Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, telling stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character for over 50 years. Details at texancultures.utsa.edu.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The next phase of Governor Abbott's plan to reopen the economy includes reopening Texas's approximately 5,500 bars, restaurants, nightclubs, honky-tonks at 25% capacity beginning this Friday. Bars are an important part of our social fabric. That's where you can meet old friends, meet new friends. You just don't want to get a social disease like COVID-19. You get it through social contact with these individuals. How do we prevent that? How do we allow bars and restaurants, these important businesses, to function and still keep the public safe? You can call in with your questions and comments. The number is 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. Also, gyms, other places, bowling alleys, bingo halls, all these other places are opening. If you've got a question or a comment about those, about any suggestions about how they can be reopened in a way that still keeps people safe, we want to hear from you as well, 833-TPR-TALK. We're joined by Jody Bailey Newman, the owner of the Friendly Spot Ice House, member of the Texas Bar and Nightclub Alliance, and the San Antonio Bexar County Joint Economic Transition Team. Jody Bailey Newman, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you. Joe Montesario is with us. He is the Chief Strategy and Operations Officer for the Texas Restaurant Association. Joe, it's good to have you.
Thank you very much for having me as well. And one slight correction there, it's bars and restaurants combined in this state are 55,000 plus units before COVID-19 began. So we're a very significant segment of this economy.
All right, thank you for that. And Dr. Ruth Bergen joins us, the infectious disease specialist and the director of the Center for Medical Humanities and Ethics at UT Health San Antonio, COVID-19 consultant for the City of San Antonio and Bexar County, and a member of the Joint Health Transition Team. Dr. Bergen, thank you for joining us again.
Very happy to be here with all of these nice people.
So Jody Bailey Newman at the Friendly Spot, you're allowed to reopen on Friday. Are you going to reopen on Friday?
Well, you know, we are in the process of clarifying several parts of the order with the governor's office through the Texas Restaurant Association and the Texas Bar and Nightclub Alliance. And so I think the answer right now would be probably not. You know, this is not a one-size-fits-all situation, and certainly our businesses have been closed for over 60 days. So, to get staffing in, training in, inventory in, all of these things, this is a pretty big challenge for all of us out there. So I would say possibly. I'm not too sure at this point.
So it's really about, for you, it's just the business of doing the business is what you're looking at right now.
Sure. So if you can imagine bars and restaurants, we serve food and beverage. Those are perishable items. And so most of us were not able to retain any of our inventory that we had on site. Combine that with that we have staff that have been doing different things than their main job, which is serving food and beverage and serving customers, plus getting the safety plan into place. You know, we only got the news we could reopen at the 25% yesterday. And then there's the business of, you know, there's the safety, but then there's also the business of our business, right? And we have to make sure that we're keeping close eye on that, because the majority of us really, you know, we lost a lot of money in the last 60 days. We have to figure all that out.
Joe Monstero, Chief Strategist and Operations Officer for the Texas Restaurant Association. Can you go over for me some of these rules that have kind of been put in place? If they're hard and fast rules, or are they just strong suggestions from the governor? 25% capacity, and it's got to be table seating, or what's going on there? What's all that?
So a lot of what has been put in place by the governor's office, who've really been phenomenal at collaborating with our industry and looking at this, the Texas Restaurant Association put forward a Texas restaurant promise a month ago, which very heavily influenced the ultimate guidelines for restaurants when they opened to 25% 2 weeks ago. They'll now be able to go to 50% on Friday. We also created, in collaboration with our members who are bar owners, the Texas Bar Promise. And we're very pleased to see that quite a lot of the guidelines there were picked up. You know, one of the most important parts of doing this, and doing this well, is to remember a couple things. One, restaurants and bars are already experts in sanitation and hygiene. You know, we're held to incredibly high standards by our local health departments, and so our staff already know a lot of what they have to do. Training them up on some of the more unique things that are specific to COVID-19 and in this very, very unique time we find ourselves in are things like adding sanitation stations at the entrance, in multiple locations for staff, to maintain the social distancing piece, no parties larger than six. This applies to both bars and restaurants. Within the bars themselves, setting groups a minimum of 6 feet apart, which is similar to what the restaurants have to do. And that can be done with tables or chairs. So you could have, you know, a high boy with up to six people from the same party standing around it, minimum of 6 feet away from someone else. You also have chairs that you could put in a cluster, or if you have a couch seating area. In a way, you could almost say this is a combination between a tic-tac-toe and a twister board. But effectively, what operators will do is look at their open space and determine what they're going to do to enforce that social distancing. One of the other big pieces of the order that's important, too, is how it applies to outside spaces. So outside spaces can reopen without a capacity limit as long as they're maintaining that six-foot social distancing. So the six-by-six rule really is at the core of all this. Additional steps that follow what a restaurant would normally do, but just to a heightened level, includes sanitation of highly frequented areas and surfaces. In between parties, if there are tables, wipe it down to sanitizing the table. So I think a lot of what Jody mentioned is very, very accurate. There's the business of doing the business that has to be thought through by everyone and determined of what's best for their establishment. When the restaurants were given the 25% green light, we saw roughly half had an opened. The other half decided to stay with just takeout and delivery. I expect that we'll see probably something similar for the bars, if not possibly even a slightly lower number, just given the logistics of getting ready to open. I think one of the most important things, and we stressed this when the restaurants got 25%, that's also important for the bars is, yes, it absolutely takes time to restock your inventory. It takes time to prepare your staff and prepare your space to welcome in your guests. And so while they can open Friday, they don't have to open Friday. You open when it makes sense for your business.
Dr. Ruth Bergeron, if you could tell us what your reaction is to the idea that bars and restaurants, or bars particularly, are opening up, even though at 25% capacity. Does this concern you? We still have this highly infectious virus that is contagious and spreading through the community.
Yeah, so I want to press pause for a minute and talk about how we as infectious disease and public health specialists think about the infectiousness or the risk of an activity with respect to this pandemic. And the questions that you want to ask when evaluating risk of a human activity is how many, how long, how close, and how modifiable, okay? How many people are going to be there in this area where you're going to be exposed? How long are people going to linger? How close together are they going to be? How long and how close has to do with an intensity of exposure? And then you look at how modifiable are those factors within a particular environment. And when you do that, activity by activity, you can kind of come up with a high, medium, or low risk of an area. So it turns out that by those criteria, restaurants are considered to be medium risk and bars are high. And restaurants are different than bars in several ways. The contact intensity for most bars, without the modifications that have just been described, mind you, but most bars have a higher contact intensity than restaurants, and most bars have a higher number of contacts, so that makes them higher risk. And they both have, both restaurants and bars, have a medium modification potential. So that's how we look at this question objectively. The other thing that's important to point out about bars is that there's going to be more alcohol consumption there. Restaurants have alcohol consumption, but bars are about alcohol consumption, and people's inhibitions are down when they're consuming alcohol, which means that they're more likely to take risk. So I actually canvassed a number of the members of the health transition team about this very question in preparation for today, and nobody gave a full-throated, hearty, yes, let's open the bars, let's go out drinking. Not a single one. Most of them felt like we really needed to proceed with caution. They said things like, we need to have unequivocal evidence that the transmission has had a substantial and sustained decrease in the community. And everybody thinks we are seeing a decrease in cases, but we're not necessarily convinced that it's substantial and sustained. And we'd like to have some more information by the end of the month to decide if it's safe to increase the openings.
When you go to one of these bars, Joe Montessaro, are you going to be wearing a face mask or get your temperature taken? How do we help people deal with the COVID?
There's a couple of things that everyone needs to keep in mind. So first of all, with the modifications, one of the big things that's done is the actual bar itself, meaning your traditional bar counter, is not to be used. So either closing it off, or opening it off, removing bar stools if they're removable. The idea is that the service style will modify greatly. That's probably the biggest change, so that rather than you going up to the bar to order, being in close contact with the bartender, you're at your designated gathering area, whether you're 1, 2, 4, or 6 people, again, no more than 6 people, and then whether it's the bartender themselves or with a cocktail server, your order is taken at the table, your cocktails are delivered to the table. They're also using either contactless menu options, like scanning a QR code at the table, or a single-time use disposable menu. That right there is probably one of the fundamental components of this that give us a confidence to say bars should be able to reopen. They, of course, had no other alternative way to make revenue during this period of time. So this is 6 weeks that they have lost staff. They may not be able to rehire. And so that's part one. Part two, as far as your individual person, there's a mirror side, both in our Texas restaurant and Texas bar promise, for the customer. And there's also guidelines that have been issued by the governor's office for the customer. As far as once you're in your designated area with your group, you do not have to be wearing a face mask. It can be a little difficult to eat and drink if you're wearing one. But leaving your table, going to the restroom, or entering and exiting bars, one of the guidelines is a recommendation that, as has been taken by many places throughout the state, wearing a face cloth when you're out in public is not a bad idea. So wearing it to the establishment and wearing it when you leave. Washing your hands, using the sanitizing stations. There's also a self-examination that is asked of everyone. In other words, no, you're not going to have your temperature taken when you walk in the door, but we ask everyone to take personal responsibility that if there's any of the symptoms that are being shown, they stay home.
So you can't be like Norm and Cliff, like sitting right at the bar. You've got to be at one of the tables and have table service. That's one of the measures that's being taken in order to help the public during the reopening of bars in Texas, opening on Friday. If you have a question or a comment, do you own a bar? Do you frequent them? What do you want to see? The number is 833-877-8255. The source continues right after this break. Listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about bar reopenings right now. They begin on Friday. That was announced yesterday by Governor Greg Abbott, at 25% capacity. And now restaurants will be able to go up to 50% capacity. Gyms are now open, the exercise gyms. They're putting in some measures to try to protect the public. Are you ready to start going out again and doing all of these events? How is that going to happen? How are we going to make people safe? The number is 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. And we have Rebel on the phones. And Rebel, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on the air. I own a restaurant and bar, La Botanica, on the St. Mary's Strip. And, I mean, to answer your question, personally, I don't feel safe yet going out to these activities as far as, you know, going out to other bars. As a business owner, I want to echo what Jody was saying, was that it's a big system to change. I mean, we've been running our establishment for about 5 years. We've never done table service. We've only done counter service. So now we have to shift our model. We are used to sanitation process, like the other gentleman said, and we've been doing curbside and takeout, so we were able to kind of get used to the standards of how to shift during this pandemic. But now to shift the, you know, getting the inventory and getting, you know, table service and all of that is, you know, it's a big shift for us as a business.
And so, Rebel, do you think that you will wait until these rules are relaxed a little bit more, or they kind of seem pretty like suggestions? They're not really enforceable by law, doesn't seem like. They could just weaken on their own.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel backed in a corner, to be honest. Like I said, personally, I don't necessarily feel safe about going on to these activities until more of the cases go down. And also, but as a business owner, I can't continue not to operate a business and stay in business. And, you know, even restocking inventory from beer to food is a cost, you know, that I have to incur with not making that much money for the last, you know, 60 days.
All right, Rebel, thank you for joining us, the owner of La Botanica on the St. Mary's Strip. So, Joe Monastero, if you could tell us how many of the restaurants do you think are really going to open up on Friday? Do you think a lot of them are going to take this wait-and-see approach?
I think we will see certainly a few more restaurants open. As I mentioned earlier on the show, 50% roughly of restaurants, when the 25% rule was implemented, chose to remain closed and just continue doing takeout and delivery. I think, you know, a couple of important things here that everyone needs to keep in mind is that, first of all, the impact still is immeasurable economically on these business owners. Already we know that 9 to 10% of independently owned restaurants in Texas have closed permanently, and that's an impact to the community. These are places that everyone has their favorite restaurant, their favorite server, that place where they go that builds their memories, right? And to have that gone overnight and no ability to even say goodbye, it's jarring to everyone. To the others, they have to make the decision that's best for them, first and foremost, which is, again, it's not a requirement to open, it's the ability to open. The costs are huge when you have to restock inventory. We are looking right now at shortages in various proteins, with factories having been closed down, given that they're employees get contracted COVID. At the same time, many restaurants, and let's be very clear, 25% and 50%, these are all wins. These are progressive steps towards whatever the new normal is going to be when this is over. But a restaurant cannot operate at 50% and remain viable, not when you're working with margins that are less than 10%. And so we need to continue to work responsibly to get restaurants open and eventually get back to 100%, but it's a process. And the governor's office has been phenomenal at working with us. His health experts have been phenomenal working with us. And this is the same for bars, right? And so, you know, at the end of the day, everyone has to make their choice and do what they can do. The other piece is that with the 6x6 rule, once you calculate out what you can do, you may not be at 25% or you may not be at 50% capacity just by nature of the amount of space you have to work with. And so that's going to be our other challenge down the road, is coming up with other innovative ways to accommodate social distancing and protection between parties, but that can get us to 75% or get us to 100%. Because again, restaurants and bars will not be able to sustain being closed or operating at such a reduced capacity.
Jody Bailey Newman with the Friendly Spot Ice House, 25% capacity. Can you work with that? 50% capacity, is that sustainable? Does it have to be full open, back to normal, the way it used to be?
So what I would say is it's definitely not a one-size-fits-all conversation. I would say that, you know, to take and put restaurants in one category and bars in one category is something that is you know, decades ago. Most of the establishments that you visit today are a hybrid. They have delicious food and they have great drinks, right? And so the majority of the establishments where Joe is talking about that we have our birthday celebrations, where people celebrate when they get engaged, graduations, these are hybrid bar restaurants that serve food and drink in times of celebration and for gathering with friends and family. So I think for each individual owner or operator, it is different, right? So at the Friendly Spot Ice House, we are 95% outdoors. We created a seating grid about 2 weeks prior to the shutdown and had reduced our seating. I can't echo what Joe said enough, that we are one of the most regulated industries in the state of Texas when it comes to regulation by not only MetroHealth, but the TABC coming in if you have an alcohol license. So I would say it varies from each individual operator, but I will say that I have close friends in this industry that closed their doors 2 months ago that are not reopening. It's gut-wrenching. It has an impact on communities. It has an impact on our friends and family because that's where they work. It also has a significant tax revenue impact, not only on us locally, but statewide.
Dr. Ruth Bergen, we're still seeing numbers that show growth in the test of positives, but that's because of the increased testing. I mean, can you kind of tell me where are we with the spread of coronavirus?
Yeah, so if you were to look right now today at the dashboard for the city of San Antonio where MetroHealth documents all these cases, I mean, you would see that we had dipped down to a pretty low level of reported cases at the end of April, and then right as that May 1 to reopening surge happened, we had more. While it wasn't related to reopening, it was actually increased testing, and increased testing particularly in congregate settings, the jail, and nursing homes. And so when you do strategic testing like that, where you're going after known hotspots, you're going to have more cases. So the other thing that we look at, of course, is the epi curve, and that is looking at confirmed cases from the time of the diagnosis, and that has been down for sure. And then our hospitalization rates are down locally. So I tend to believe that we are on the downswing and that the peaks in the reported cases are related to hotspot testing. There's another metric, though, that concerns me on a statewide level. And if you look at State of Texas data on hospitalizations for laboratory-confirmed COVID-19 patients, and you go back to April 13th, it's absolutely flat to slightly up. And so the tests are going to be kind of all over the map depending on which population you're going after. Okay, is it a congregate setting? Are there a lot of asymptomatic positives there? Hospitalizations are probably a better reflection about what's going on. You don't get to the hospital unless you're really sick. And, you know, if anything, there's a slight increase from April 13th to May 17th, which is the data that I have available. So that does not speak to a sustained two-week decline. And so I'm concerned on a state level. I think locally I have some optimism, but it's cautious optimism.
How long does it take? What's the lag before we see an indicator if these reopenings of bars, restaurants, gyms, all these other places, that is not a good idea?
So the incubation period, of course, is 14 days, so you wouldn't expect it to be sooner than that. You might get some because people can become symptomatic, you know, 5 days after they were exposed. But then this is a funny virus. People don't go straight to the hospital if they're going to get sick. It's oftentimes in the second week of the actual illness with symptoms where people start to get really, really ill. So, you know, that kind of puts us out into 3 or 4 weeks after the easing of restriction to really look at what's happening with hospitalizations.
If that's all we're going to be doing for looking for hospitalizations, we're also doing other things too, right?
Right.
We should have early detection.
Comment on the hospitalizations is an important metric, and I wanted to make the point that if you look statewide, those data don't look so good, whereas our locally we're reporting new cases, both symptomatic and asymptomatic. We're reporting things like hospital stress, availability of ventilators, availability of ICU beds. We're looking at the percentage of cases that are percentage of people who are positive when they go get tested. And that's been declining. And that's very encouraging. And that's another reason why I feel cautiously optimistic about our local situation.
Cautiously optimistic. Meanwhile, we do have the bars reopening on Friday. Let us know how you feel about that. Have you been dying to get out and get to your old familiar watering holes, see some of your friends there, share a beer or some incredible mixed drinks? What do you want to do when you get out there? What are your favorite watering holes? Do you think it'll be open or did it close permanently? Tell us how this is directly impacting you. If you work in these establishments, they employ so many people. We depend on these facilities. Give us a call. The number is 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. Blaine, Tom, Juan, hang on. We'll get you your calls when we come back from this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're talking about bars reopening. Governor Abbott made the announcement yesterday, scheduled to reopen on Friday at 25% capacity. Let's go to Juan on the let's go to Blaine on the phones. Blaine, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey there. Thanks for having me on. I would just say, you know, sharing the concerns first and foremost with your medical expert there, as far as opening goes, is the number one criteria. Cautiously optimistic is not exactly a vote of confidence. Owning a bar, I think we're going to be starting out just doing happy hours at first to ensure the social distancing. After somebody has a few drinks, it becomes very difficult to manage that. But a whole other area we're not talking about are live music venues throughout the country that are just stifled by this. And whether it's 25, 50, or 75%, you know, people getting together and congregating is antithetical towards public health right now. And at least for another year to 18 months, you know, that type of business itself, which is about $3 billion in economic activity in Texas, is going to be going away. And without more federal support, we're just going to have a really tough time bringing that whole industry back, on top of the restaurants and bars that are already struggling right now.
All right, Blaine, and you own The Mix on St. Mary's Strip, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And you plan on, when do you want to reopen?
We're going to reopen for happy hour on Friday. And, you know, again, that's going to be more manageable to meet all of those health criteria, the protocols. I think later into the evening, I think, you know, it becomes more difficult to police people and maintain those social distancing standards that are really important at this point, because we're already in kind of a precarious situation.
All right. Thank you for that. I'm going to go to Tom also on the phones. Tom, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Dave Davies. Thank you for all you do for our community. I got a twofold question. I heard this morning about dancing is not recommended. And I was wondering if, you know, dancing after, you know, further than 6 feet with a mask, is that going to be allowed? A lot of people are asking questions about that this morning, and I really would like to know if we could get a clear answer. And another one might be just an idea that alcoholic beverages like beer, since those bottles are disposable, they're thrown away, they're not touching other people's lips and saliva, shouldn't mixed drinks be served in plastic cups so they can be disposed rather than washed if they're not, you know, sanitized?
Two good questions. Let me go to Joe Monastero about that question about dancing first. He's with the Texas Restaurant Association.
Happy to actually give you the answers to both those questions. First of all, the way in which the guidelines that were issued by the Governor Reed is that any activities that enable close human contact, including but not limited to dancing, are discouraged. So this is, again, where sort of personal responsibility comes into play. I would tend to agree with the first caller about the fact that it's going to be a while before people are comfortable. We've shifted our entire social makeup to believing that a hug can, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to be a bit before I think everyone's truly feeling like life's gone back to normal. But that said, if someone wants to dance and they have their masks on, I, you know, certainly wouldn't look at this as going to a bar and dancing for the purposes of meeting people. You're going with people you already know. You're staying within that group. And so from within that perspective, what you choose to do at the table, if there's music playing in the background and you're, you know, tapping your foot, you're tapping your foot. Yeah, that's up to you. I don't think we're going to see, you know, huge dance floors packed with people. That wouldn't work with the social distancing requirements. As far as the disposables are concerned, both restaurants and bars, again, are held to some of the strictest health guidelines in the state of Texas as far as businesses are concerned. And so washing and sanitizing all of utensils and plates and cups and glasses, it's a standard part of their daily routine. And so that was an item that certainly was discussed, but balancing the costs of reopening and keeping things for owners and operators to be able to, they feel is best, is where there's a lot of room for interpretation here. And you're drinking out of a glass that's been washed at a certain temperature. It's also been put through a sanitizing solution. And so it's effectively a brand new glass once it comes to you. So I feel that at this point, it's one of those areas where some bars may choose to do it just from a convenience perspective, because as was, you know, mentioned by Jody earlier, some places have never had to serve before. They've just been walk up to the bar. Now they would have to serve a table. So instead of having your bar back worrying about washing glasses, they may opt to go disposable so that they've got the extra hands to help with the serving piece. This is where we appreciate very much how the governor's office has very, very clearly thought through how everyone should open with the minimum guidelines and leaving the expertise of individual owners that know their businesses better than anyone else to make the other modifications necessary for them to do what makes sense for them. Some cases that may mean they don't reopen right away. Some may do, as the other gentleman mentioned, doing a little happy hour. Everyone is given the freedom to determine what makes the most sense for them. And as far as the opening strike force, the governor has put together, medical experts there have been really, really thorough about thinking through what happens at what point and at what time. And in the case of yesterday's executive order, even restricting certain areas. So you'll note that while we can go to 50% with restaurants and we can open bars at 25%, there are five counties that were excluded from that order. Deaf Smith, El Paso, Moore, Potter, and Randall counties are all considered hotspots right now. And so restaurants there have to stay at 25%. Bars cannot reopen there. They're going to continue to monitor the number of cases, the number of hospital admittance, and all the other criteria that they've been using to determine when they move through the phases of reopening. And then a week from now, we should hear more information from them about if they feel that any of those five are ready to come off that list or if they need more time. So I think it's been very, very well thought through.
Dr. Ruth Bergeron, back in the day when I would go to bars, to the discotheque go-go, these places were really loud and you'd have to get close to somebody really to talk to them, almost like your face in front of another person's face. It seems like that sort of environment is perfect for the transmission of a disease like the coronavirus.
Yeah, well, I think dancing in clubs is similar to a contact sport, quite honestly, and those are high risk. And we also know that shouting and singing increases the transmissibility of virus. This isn't just made up stuff. There's an actual well-described case of a choir practice that took place in Washington State where somebody was sick and 32 people wound up getting infected from singing, even when they were more than 6 feet apart. People who stood more than six feet away from the sick person still got infected, and then two people died. So singing, shouting, these are things that happen when people are in a loud, noisy environment. And yes, that increases transmission, mask or no mask. So it's not safe.
Let's go to Juan on the phones. Juan, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Dave. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm one of the people doing the modeling for the city of San Antonio. So every day I study the data. I post an update. And what I'm observing with the data right now is that we have a slight acceleration in the growth of cases. That is, the numbers are going down, but they're not going down fast enough to be consistent with a decrease in transmission. I think the decrease, we are experiencing a small increase in transmission. So having said that, I recognize the tremendous moral duty that we have to provide for our people. We're talking about people who have jobs, who need to provide for their families. We need to provide the opportunity, give the opportunity for them to gain, to earn an income. And I think that has to be at the forefront of all the considerations that we have. Of course, we have all the constraints. What happens with transmission? It's we want to keep it constrained. But how do we do that? We need to communicate consistently to our communities that they need to police themselves, that they need to engage in social practices that are consistent with keeping a lead on the transmission of this disease. So I just wanted to put that idea out there that we truly have to take care of our people through their jobs. We need to allow our people to work, but we cannot fall on the trap that this disease might present. This week, the city of Shulan in the northeastern was, they started with constraints, very similar to what happened in Wuhan. So we're not out of the woods.
We're not out of the woods. I want to thank you for that call, Juan. Good information. I'm going to go back to Jody Bailey Newman, the owner of the Friendly Spot Ice House. And I know, I mean, you are at the Friendly Spot. You are running the place while the, and so you're not far removed from what is going on there. So if this is reopening and it's not safe, you are there too. You're putting yourself at risk.
That's right. So, you know, one of the things that I would hope to remind everyone, from leaders to even the folks that were on the health health team for the city of San Antonio that live in my neighborhood, is that, you know, part of the health of my family and the people that work for me is that we're able to, you know, pay for our homes, pay for our food, pay for our health insurance. There comes a point in time where the ability to not work does start affecting health. And so balance is something that we're talking about. And then also, when you look at your locally owned food and beverage establishment, the majority of us work in our businesses. You know, I have a mother that lives in Southtown. I have two children. I am looking to be very safe. Another thing that I would put forward staff in our places have food training. They have TABC training. They are uniquely qualified for this task.
All right, Jody Bailey Newman, owner of the Friendly Spot Ice House, is with the Texas Bar and Nightclub Alliance and with the Economic Transition Team for San Antonio Bexar County. Joe Monastero is the Chief Strategist Operating Officer for the Texas Restaurant Association. And Dr. Ruth Bergeron is with the UT Health San Antonio and Health Transition Team. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.